bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth of the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. You know, next time I send an email, I got to remember, next time somebody get in trouble, did I email them? Did I send them a text? Yeah, so-and-so got arrested and they took their phone. Like, oops. Oops. Sorry. It wasn't me. Somebody stole my phone for 10 minutes that day and sent a message. It was not me. This Epstein stuff is going to get people. Woo. Woo. Folks going to get, they're going to get called out. They're going to get. I don't know. I just. I don't get it. Oh, well.
Number 5.
This from CBS 58. Want to say congratulations to the city council. They's doing their job. Change is on the way after multiple deadly fires in buildings without sprinklers, including one just last week. Alderman Peter Bergella said people are dying because the government has allowed these buildings to exist for 50 years. It's far past time to get the upgrades that we know save lives in the buildings that we need them. That didn't make any sense. Anyway, yesterday, local leaders presented a new ordinance that would require landlords to provide tenants with a document that could save the lives of their tenants. We want a separate document, just like with the lead paint disclosure. It's a separate form that you have to sign and acknowledge where it's not buried in the fine print. This would only be for residential buildings built before 1974 that have more than 16 units or are more than 3 stories. However, that would only amount to 750 buildings in Milwaukee. Alderman Bergella said that's mitigating the risk and trying to save or protect as many people as we can with what we have. Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky and the Department of Neighborhood Services have been working together on creating a database of all the buildings in Milwaukee that don't have fire sprinklers. Let's do it like this. Let's do it like this. Because the commissioner of DNS said that roughly 30,000 to 40,000 residents in Milwaukee are living in buildings without sprinklers. And then the department doesn't have the capacity. We don't have 27 fire inspectors. We don't have enough to do it all. So here's what you do. This is a free one. City Council, hope you're listening. pass an ordinance. First of all, now you got to do this simultaneously. Pass an ordinance that's effective 18 months from now that every building that has, what was it, that was built before 1974 and has more than 16 units must have sprinklers by then. That's it. We don't need to identify them. We don't need to have them in. You need to send us a notice. Fill out this form that says we have the sprinklers. Here's the sprinkler. Here's the company where we got them from and all that. Whatever technical information you need. That's it. Then you can go around and start checking all those places to see if you have them. And over about the span of about 2 or 3 years, you should be able to cover enough buildings to find out whether or not they have it. And then when you find them $5,000. Make the fine $5,000. You could pay $5,000 to get sprinklers, or you can pay $5,000 to get sprinklers after you pay the $5,000 fine. And then it'll get done. Because fire prevention and fire detection, that's all cute and that's fine, but clearly it's not working. You tell every single house, every single landlord, you have to have a working fire detector. You have to have a working gas carbon monoxide detector, period. End of story. When the tenant removes it, the tenant is either has to pay more in rent, or if they don't put it in, they have to pay more as a loan. I'm sorry, as a fine. That's it. Simple. And if the tenant tries to mess over the landlord by removing it and then reporting them, the landlord has already put it in, put where they put it in, and put the serial number of the device. And so that's done. And that's it. They got no more of these problems and going through all this trouble and trying to make it bigger than it really is. We're not going to try to locate them and try to find out where they are and try to find out. No, you know the building that you're in. You have X amount or else we're coming around and we're going to check your building. And when we don't find them, we're going to find you. Me, I'd make it $5,000 a day. That's what I would do. And then that way you don't have a problem. That problem will go away.
Number 4.
Dear Rockwell. Well, Rockwell Automation announced today plans to build a new manufacturing site in southeastern Wisconsin, and it has the potential to be the company's largest manufacturing campus in the world. This is from Fox6Now.com. The planned facility would offer more than 1 million square feet of manufacturing and warehouse space. The company said it would be equipped with advanced automation, robots, and digital systems, including artificial intelligence and analytical tools. Now, here's the weird part. Well, no, let me keep going. Blake Moret, their CEO and chair, said designing a new facility presents the opportunity to create the future of industrial operations with highly orchestrated production. We're expanding our U.S. manufacturing footprint with advanced production capability that supports growth and performance with the latest Rockwell technologies and solutions. So here's what I would ask. Number one, because your global headquarters is in Milwaukee, right there on 2nd and Greenfield, what I would ask you to do is build it as close to Milwaukee as possible so that we can create jobs in Milwaukee as close as possible. Number two, start a program to start training high school students and middle school students to be able to get the jobs in manufacturing, the college graduates to get jobs in manufacturing to supervise the place, manage the place, direct the place, or do the work. Is that okay? That is my ask to one of the best corporate partners in Wisconsin, Rockwell Automation.
Number 3.
From WISN.com, I said it before, DJ Brother Z, I know you think I'm crazy, but remember we was talking about cars and trees? But now it's motorcycles and trees. Muskego police said a falling tree hit and killed a 39-year-old woman riding on a motorcycle on Saturday. The crash happened along Tans Road about 3:15 in the afternoon. According to police, the victim was a passenger on the motorcycle. She died on scene after being hit by a falling tree. Police said the motorcycle driver, 51-year-old man, called 911 and stayed on the scene after the crash. Family identified the victim to WISN 12 News as Stacy Quaid. They said Quaid was a mother of two, worked in marketing, but bartended at the Lodge in Muskego as a side gig. That's unfortunate. Close family friends set up a GoFundMe page to help with funeral expenses and help supporting her two children. Wow. What is it with trees? So let me say, I got to avoid people weaving around the road and driving recklessly. I got to avoid OWI drivers. I got to avoid people high on THC. I got to avoid people high on pills. And I got to avoid trees. Okay. That makes sense.
Number two.
From WISN.com, one person has been killed in a fatal shooting early this morning on the north side. The shooting occurred around 2:30 a.m. at 31st and West Atkinson Avenue in Old North Milwaukee neighborhood. Responding officers found a 28-year-old who had been shot and died on the scene. Video from the scene showed officers blocking off the intersection in heavy rain as they worked to collect evidence and document the area. Police say the investigation is ongoing. No arrests have been made. And anyone with information is urged to call Milwaukee Police at 414-935-7360. Or if you wish to remain anonymous, contact Crime Stoppers at 414-224-TIPS.
Number one.
Well, you heard it, but I don't really understand it because they're at it again. It was a packed house with standing room only at Kenosha's Common Council meeting last night, as many residents expressed their concerns with what? A proposed data center on the northwest side of the highway 142 and Interstate 94. This story from WISN.com. People, after speaking out against the data center during the public comment, said they called on the city council to put an immediate halt to the project. Any person that supports this data center and continues to support any construction of it is a traitor to Kenoshans, one resident said. Those in opposition came with a list of concerns. Picking one is hard, obviously, environmental impacts, water usage, which we've already shown that they don't use as much water as people are saying. It's kind of weird, but our Great Lakes are a very precious resource for our entire country. Somebody else said Microsoft purchased land not too far from the Mars Cheese Castle back in January, and it's already been rezoned for a data center. Kenosha Mayor said nothing is a zero, but there's virtually little impact to the environment. This is actually going to be something that's more helpful for Kenosha's long-term growth. When asked if the project was too far along for residents' concerns to be heard, the mayor said, no, first of all concerns should be heard. That's why I took the time to meet with a number of those individuals to make sure they did get their questions answered. We've been very transparent and forthright with this. Microsoft is no stranger. The tech giant is currently building two other massive data centers in Mount Pleasant. Third project in Caledonia was recently canceled after citizens there pushed back. And here's what's going to happen. When your taxes go up, and when your land doesn't appreciate the way that you want it to, you're going to look back and go, oh, we could have had. Yeah, you could have had it, but now you can't. Your taxes could actually go down if they meet all the benchmarks and get the tax credits from the state of Wisconsin. They could create jobs for the next 20, 30 years. But for some reason, we seem to have a problem with that. In a statement, Microsoft spokesperson said, we're fully committed to advancing and operating data centers responsibly in a way that strengthens local communities and generates economic opportunity for the area. And I think the economic opportunity for the area, think about what's going to be around the data center. Somebody's got to keep it running. Somebody's got to keep it going. They're going to need security. They're going to need technicians. They're going to need maintenance. And guess what? If you work around there and you have a business, they got to have somewhere to eat. I'm just saying. So there's a lot of things that we have to remember in business that will actually help. Are there negatives that come with business? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Feels like these walls are about to break. Who I see in the mirror's not the same.
I'm just getting started.
Why should shake off the
dust? You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. They got news out about Giannis, y'all. As they say, from JS Online, the Milwaukee Bucks have yet to provide a formal update on the left groin strain Giannis suffered in the first half of the team's 118-106 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers on yesterday. But head coach Doc Rivers said that Giannis will be out 1 to 2 weeks. He had an MRI once the team was back in Milwaukee on today, and it went pretty well. He said on the team's in-house radio show, I don't know what grade it is, but I know it's not a bad one. So that's good news for us. But yet it's still probably 2 weeks. He'll be out and we'll see. Hopefully less, but most likely in that area. That's got to hurt. That's got to hurt. That's why I'm not a basketball player. maybe because I can't play basketball. I've never liked basketball. Ms. Smith on the talking text line said, I'm not following your logic today. It depends on what a person does. Let's not conflate a mistake with crimes against children and young men and women. How about crime, period, is bad? It don't matter if it's against children or young men or women. You're not more culpable because you're an adult if you're a victim. Oh, you know, I'm an adult now, so you can take advantage of me, but if I'm not an adult, you can't. No. How about not take advantage of anybody? So I don't understand. I sent her a note back and said, I'm unclear what you're pushing back against. And then I spelled you're wrong. Y-U apostrophe R-E. What you laughing at? DJ Brother Z laughing at me like,
dumb, dumb.
So at least I admit it. At least I embrace it. At least I read it on the radio. Yep, I wrote it wrong. I wrote it wrong. You know, we keep hearing all these things that happen in public schools in Milwaukee as if the media has just decided to pretend like, you know, it's not really. Oh, it is, but it isn't. You know, it's kind of. And so one of the issues I have is that we need to address bias. We need to address bias in the media because we pretend like there's no bias. We pretend like there's no issue when in fact there really is. And until we deal with it, I think we're going to always, quote unquote, pretend like, oh, it's not a problem. It's not an issue. But it is. And there's a story that I'm looking at that had I not clicked, I don't remember seeing it on the news anywhere. And I watched the news today from JS Online. A 17-year-old has been accused of making threats against Hamilton High School in Sussex. Nolan Dwyer of Sussex was charged as an adult November 13th, today is the 18th, that's 5 days ago, in Waukesha County Circuit Court with one felony count of making terrorist threats, and if convicted, he could do 3.5 years and $10,000 fine or both. Made his initial court appearance on the 13th, free on $2,500 signature bond, is scheduled for prelim. Mark Powers, who's listed as Dwyer's attorney in online records, did not immediately answer a call. According to the complaint, Waukesha County Sheriff's Department responded to CESA on Paul Road in the city of Pewaukee for a complaint that a student had threatened to commit a school shooting. A teacher told the deputy she heard Dwyer tell other students that he was not going back to his former school district and that if he did, he would shoot up the school. The teacher said Dwyer was referring to Hamilton High School. The teacher repeatedly told Dwyer to stop talking like that, but he continued. The complaint said he would walk down the halls or into the office and start shooting. He also said he was serious, indicating that he hates the school and made gunshot noises. A student also told Dwyer that isn't something to joke about. That's what the teacher said. Dwyer initially admitted to the deputy that he had made such statements, but said he had a lot going on in his head, both at school and personally, and that he did not have access to a gun. That's according to the complaint. Dwyer then backtracked and said he wouldn't do such a thing. He had not made any threats. The teacher was lying. He also said there were no other students around who could have heard him say such a thing. Dwyer's mother told deputies she owns a handgun, but said it was locked up and that Dwyer didn't have access to it. She also told the deputy that she wanted to get rid of the gun and planned to sell it to a firearm store. How convenient. How convenient. So my question is, where's this story been for 5 days? Like, where has this story been?
I think I saw it on, like, Fox 6's website earlier today.
Fox 6's website earlier today. That's my point. It happened on the 13th. Not only did the kid get arrested, you know that made the news, that made social media, right? Somewhere. He got arrested. He got charged. He got arraigned. Nothing. For 5 days? This is what I talk about when I say the media is biased. They are 100% totally biased. And I don't understand why people don't understand the bias of the media. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. So I went searching, right? And if you have any thoughts, 833-212-1017 is the number. I'm going to talk about media bias when we come back. I'm going to tell you the types of bias that you need to be on the lookout for when you hear something, when people read a story, when they do a story, all that. Right? Now, let's be honest. I have my own biases, but I at least admit it. But I'm going to tell you about the 16 types, I'll cover a few of them, of bias that you need to be aware of so that even when you're talking to people, one of the reasons why people can't agree and that we don't believe in freedom of speech, it's not just media bias, it's personal bias.
You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
On a distant planet, that whirls around the April moon, whirling in an arc of sadness. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. All my kingdoms turn to sand and fall into the sea. I'm mad about you. I'm mad about you.
One of my favorite songs by Sting. Zach just shaking his head like, that's pitiful. He don't even know the music. Like, who's state? The police? Who's that? Am I making fun of you?
No, this song's garbage, though.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't like it. He has better songs.
Yes, he does. But that's one of my favorite songs.
I feel bad for you.
If you listen, if you want to know how to write a song in terms of cadence and, you know, the chorus and the melody and all that, there's a song he wrote called Every Breath You Take. If you were teaching how to write a song, you would play Every Breath You Take for them. It is the most basic, like, song you could ever teach somebody how to write. If you could write a song, it followed the cadence of Every Breath You Take, you could probably write. Just like a movie. If you follow the cadence of Star Wars in a movie and then pattern everything, okay, this happens at this point in a movie and that happens at that point in a movie, boop, you got a great movie. Well, that's all they do. Because most of the songs and most of the music and most of the movies all follow the same thing. And the bad part about it, we know that it's going to do it. And we still listen to it and we still follow it. And we still... So before the break, we were talking about this old-fashioned thing called, I don't know, bias. And everybody has it. And everybody does it. So what is bias? Like really, what is bias? Because we should have heard about this 17-year-old being charged with shooting threats when it happened. Instead, we heard about it 5 days later. After he was arraigned and released on bail. $2,500 bail. If that had been a black kid in Milwaukee, what would the bail have been? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. So, types of bias. Let's look at the types of bias. Elite versus populace, right? You're either biased towards what the group thinks or you're biased towards what the elite think, right? The rich people versus the people. There's photo bias. There's flawed bias. There's negativity bias. I don't care how positive something is. Somebody got to find something negative about it. Somebody got to find something wrong with it. There's mind reading. Oh, I know what you're thinking. You really don't. There's ad hominem attacks. You just stupid. You're an idiot. Why? I don't really know. I just don't like them. Oh, okay. There's subjectively qualifying adjectives. What is a subjective qualifying adjective? Well, journalists can reveal bias when they include things in front of specific words. When the words that characterize or attribute specific properties to a noun, right? Like it's a serious allegation versus a person that made an allegation. You know, made a massive mistake versus just a mistake. That makes sense? Because when you read it, you go, oh, my goodness. And it's not really a big of a deal. Making opinion statements presented as fact. If you don't say, well, I believe or I think or in my opinion, you can read the news and you'll think it's actually the news when in fact. Or you can say, oh, he'll probably get arrested. And that's not part of the story. You'll think that person's going to get arrested. And when they don't, you're like outraged. What about unsubstantiated claims? You know, word on the street is, you could throw that out. Then you got placement. You either got story placement or viewpoint placement, right? How you feel about it, you only put it in certain places so it only gets positive feedback. or you know somebody's going to get upset about it, or you know somebody's going to get mad about it, so you put the story there. You know how when you scroll through news stories on websites and a certain thing pops up and you look at it and go, why did that pop up? I don't like that. Well, that's story placement. Then you got story choice. Okay, I got 20 to choose from. Instead of putting all 20 in, I'm going to pick the two that I think are the best because I like them or I think they convey the story that I want to convey. That's how I look at climate change, because climate change, when global warming didn't work and the data didn't add up, they just moved it to climate change. And then everybody said, well, I agree. And that's the only way they get their funding from the National Science Foundation and the National Institutes of Health. So you have to agree. You have to be in consensus. And then everybody gets their money and everybody just pushes this whole narrative. Not thinking it through that, well, what's the other side of people who don't agree and what do they say? Oh, you can't listen to them. If you listen to them, you're wrong. You're terrible. It's the equivalent of not liking somebody and you find out they're Jewish. So then the person automatically calls you anti-Semitic. Well, no, I just don't like that person. No, you're anti-Semitic. Huh? You're anti-Christian. Well, it's not that I'm anti-Christian. I'm just pro this. Oh, no, you can't. Some people just think that way. Then there's bias by omission, a viewpoint, information, a story, sort of like what you just saw with the story from Hamilton, Sussex. Their West suburb reporter just decided, I guess, it gets in. But, you know, the editors did that. The editors decided what ran and what didn't. So you got all this stuff happening in Milwaukee, all the shootings. And then to pile on with Hamilton, Sussex, I guess somebody decided don't run the story, and then it ran today. Well, we're not going to run the story until after he's charged and this and that. He got charged 5 days ago. The story shows it got updated today. What happened to 5 days ago? What was going on the 13th that you felt that this story couldn't be posted? That's what I'm talking about. That's an omission. Omission of information. Omission of a story. And reporters do this all the time. They don't run stories in their neighborhoods. They don't make their neighborhoods look bad. Where's all the stories from the South Side? All hell's breaking loose on the South Side. You haven't heard one story that came out unless it was so egregious that it broke and somebody else was going to break it first, so they broke it. South of Oklahoma Avenue. South of Cleveland. Nothing. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why suburbs don't make it to the news. You don't think there are burglaries and robberies and all that stuff going on in suburbs? There is. Look at Mequon. They got a ring from another country that's going through breaking into basketball players' homes and social media influencers' homes and rich people and celebrities. They don't care. How long did that have to happen before they broke it? Well, because it was their neighborhood. And then there's sensationalism. We're just going to sensationalize the story. We're going to make it bigger than it actually really is. And that's what you see on CNN when they talk about Donald Trump, and on Fox News Channel when they talk about Biden or when they talk about Kamala Harris, former vice president. They sensationalize it. Well, can you believe she did this? Can you believe he did that? He used an auto pen. All presidents do. You know how much crap you got to sign in a day? That's crazy. You spend your entire life signing stuff. Signing stuff. And so he gives his okay to say, hey, these are the ones that are yes, these are the ones that are rejected. And then they take the auto pen and go, and they sign them all, and we're done. But then there's slant. So what is slant? Slant is a form of media bias in which journalists highlight or play up one particular angle or piece of information, you know how bad Milwaukee is, with a news story. Cherry-picking information or data to support one side or ignoring another perspective, like the guy who said he wanted to shoot up a school in Hamilton, Sussex, but you know, we'll just pretend like it didn't happen. And slants prevent readers from getting the full story or narrows the scope of understanding. It is closely linked to bias by omission, because it often involves omitting one side perspective or piece of information. Now, mine was the fact that they just forgot to run the story till it didn't matter. Now, let me be transparent. I've done that as a public information officer. When bad things broke and bad things happened and made the police department look bad or look culpable, you know, or look vulnerable, I made sure I released it. I think the best one I did is I released it on Election Day at like 7 o'clock when I was leaving out. And so the polls closed at 8. I got off at 7 because I worked 11 to 7. And when I got off, I faxed the story to everybody. And the person that had the exclusive had to run the story. They wanted to run it the next day or a couple of days later. I, in fact, released it. And then it got buried because they read about it in the, you know, they had to cover it in the 10 o'clock news. But it was also election night. So I've done it, but that was more so the release of information. But when you're reporting it, I would expect you to just report it straight. But then there's spin. Journalists selectively choose which facts to represent, use vague language in order to support or control a particular narrative. This type of bias describes the way in which a journalist writes using a combination of types of bias, sensationalism, slant, word choice, in order to leave a desired impression on the reader. Now, Fox News has significant bias. CNN has significant bias, but it's recognizable. You kind of get it. When the chips are down and the story is important enough, you kind of get the same story from both of those. MSNBC, in my opinion, I'm only speaking from opinion, they spin everything. They want you to leave with this impression. Everybody there says the same thing. Everybody there follows the same thing. They don't even invite people in they differ with, from what I've seen. I'm sure they have. Spin is a form of media that clouds a reader's judgment, preventing them from getting an accurate and precise understanding of what happened. In the early 20th century, public relations and advertising executives were known as spin doctors. They would use vague language or make unsupportable claims in order to promote a product or service or idea, downplaying the alternative views in order to control the perception of a product, event, or issue. You know what the biggest one that happened in the 20th century that they got burned on? Tobacco. Somebody had to sue and they had to pass legislation to put on the side of a pack of cigarettes that this product may be hazardous to your health and may cause cancer. After you saw movie after movie after movie after movie after movie of people standing there smoking cigarettes. The wild part about it, the cigarettes didn't have filters. It wasn't like you were puffing on a cigar or puffing, right? You can still get addicted and you can still quite possibly get some type of form of cancer. But it's In my words, it's less. Notice I didn't say markedly less or significantly less, but it's less than smoking and inhaling cigarettes into your lungs. And I'm not a medical doctor, so don't hold me to that. But they out and out lied. No filter. Like when I was growing up, I don't even know if they still make them, Pall Malls. These things were basically tobacco, and they put some paper around it and said, here. I don't know what was in them cigarettes. People smoked. It was terrible. But what I found out is the one type of cigarette that people become addicted to with tobacco is menthol. So Kools, I used to wonder, why does everybody smoke Kools? Well, they were menthol. And for some reason, people would become addicted to cigarettes with menthol. Well, now they put it on the package and now we have everything. That's called spin. What kind of words would you hear before we go to break? Emerge, serious, refuse, critical, high stakes, a high stakes meeting, critical, major, meaningful, right? Those type of words that are used, but they really don't mean anything. Kind of like me.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I'm looking at these cigarettes, dude. I'm like, whoa. So they're saying 18 to 20 milligrams of nicotine is bad for you. Marlboro has the highest amount of nicotine with like 13.1. But then it had another one in here that I had never heard of. Some American spirit may be more addictive than other cigarettes, and many varieties of the brand have high levels of nicotine, according to a study. Because that's why I don't smoke cigarettes. Interesting. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tory Lowe Show's coming up next. Make sure you hang out for the best in Milwaukee Black Talk. Want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging out. Thanks to everybody on the talking text line. Appreciate you. See, LT finally showed up. And everybody going on. So want to say thank you. God bless. Take care. Hey, what's up, Sincere? Kwanda, Dimitri, everybody. Have a great evening. Thank you, DJ Brother Z. Appreciate you. Have a great day. I'm out.
Be quiet.